Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number 2, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning. Very quickly, an answer to our trivia question. The answer is Brent Schaefer, and he went to Ole Miss to finish out his career. Kyle in Shelbyville, our newest winner in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. We've got one more spot to give away tomorrow. A lot of people guessing Rick Clawson. Ainge was in a competition with Rick Clawson. That was the next year in 2005. So that's what made the question a little bit more difficult there.
Yes.
Ainge found himself in several different quarterback competitions.
A lot of people went with Clawson, but I was pretty impressed. The Schaefer.
A lot of Schaefer.
Good job, everybody.
Way to go, folks. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Nick Baumgartner from The Athletic. Nick, good morning. How are we doing?
Good, guys. How are you?
We're great, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So we're going to get into a lot of different things with you. I do want to start with the Lions, though, and a little bit of local interest around here. Obviously, Hendon Hooker, electrifying quarterback at Tennessee. How has he looked to you in the preseason to this point? And is he going to be QB2 for the Lions? Is he QB3 at this point? What do we make of what we've seen from Hendon Hooker?
You know, it's interesting. I think that they, when camp started, I think they were fine with if he was, you know, going to just ease into this and was going to be QB3. I think they were going to be fine with taking 3 quarterbacks in and having him, you know, sort of be behind Nate Sudfeld if he wasn't quite ready. I think that was like the original plan. And it, you know, it might still be, although Sudfeld has been kind of shaky. And the other part of that is Hendon, you know, it's been like a tale of two extremes. When he's had a bad day, it's been bad. And when he's had a good day, it's been great. It's been like exactly what you want. And I keep, you know, attributing a lot of it to, you know, the problems he's had, I guess, first and foremost, has either been, you know, a day like yesterday. I think he had a couple fumbled snaps or whatever, which is no big deal. The bigger deal has been not wanting to rip the ball down the middle, you know, not wanting to, you know, wanting to run and get out of there and just sort of, you know, the things that we see a lot of times from rookies, which, you know, this is more or less his rookie year. So it's been a little bit more inconsistent, though I thought his last game against Kansas City here over the weekend was much, much better. So that, you know, it depends on how this finishes. If he has a really nice day, I assume he's going to go get some more time here. And again, last week he was limited after having that concussion. So, you know, really good on short notice. So if he has another good week, I got to think he might be QB2, and that might be all she wrote. I know they really like him a lot. It's just a matter of, you know, is he going to be physically ready and mentally sharp enough to do this after all that time off? So we'll have to see.
Well, let's stick with the restored roar, Nick. I know that the Lions – I know this because our guy Colton Pouncey has put some slack messes out there about other teams' third receivers. And, you know, it's funny because the Lions have a tradition of taking Titans reject receivers and turning them into better players. But what what is the situation at receiver 3 there? And what are your thoughts on Mason Kinsey? Would you be interested in Mason Kinsey?
Yeah, I mean, I think they should be interested in a lot of stuff, frankly, because it's, you know, the conversation got sort of twisted early when people were like, you know, the Lions need help at receiver. They need help at receiver. And I think a lot of people were like, well, does that mean Jameson Williams is going to bust out or, you know, going to bust, we should say. And I was like, no, I think Jameson will be fine, but they do not have anybody beyond him and St. Brown. And even with that, you don't know how fine, you know, is fine for Jameson. So, I think they should be interested in all of it. I assume they are, though, you know, Campbell got asked about it the other day and said, you know, kind of lean toward it. It's his preference that, you know, they take care of it with the guys on the roster, which is what he always says. That doesn't always happen, though. So this has happened a couple times here already in the Holmes era. They've sort of waited it out on receiver and let the market sort of play itself out. I wouldn't be shocked to see a trade late here, like in the last week and a half or right before or even after the last preseason game. Like, it wouldn't shock me at all. But I would be a little surprised if they do it before that. I think they probably want to let the roster play itself out first here because that's kind of Campbell's preference. But, yeah, they need something that, because nobody's done anything really to step. But Donovan Peoples-Jones, they brought him in last year, and I was a little surprised they brought him back in the winter. I just never thought that was a great fit, and it just really hasn't been to this point either. So, yeah, they got to do something because Khalif Raymond can't handle all that.
Nick, what's your view on the Titans kind of looking in at this team with the additions they've made in the offseason? Outwardly, the expectation when you look around the league is for them to be pretty bad and to finish in the bottom of the AFC South and toward the bottom of the AFC in general. But you've got Calvin Ridley coming in, Legarius Sneed coming in. They've done a lot this offseason. Will Levis in year two. How do you view what the Titans have heading into this season?
I mean, I like them. I like where they're going. I think I always find myself saying this. I like where they're going better than I think most people seem to, for whatever reason, because we just did our, you know, second year breakouts. And I know, you know, Joe and I talked about that. There was a ton of guys on the Titans roster there beyond Levis, you know, Tyjae Spears. Everybody loved him coming out of Tulane with everything he can do, like more than just a supplementary guy, like a guy that could be somebody's number one. They still have Skoronski on the roster. Like, I think that they have, you know what they want to do. They want to be tough up front, you know, run the ball, be able to throw off play action and be, you know, that type of team. And I think they're drafting toward that. They're making additions and subtractions to be toward that. And I think whether or not they have the type of year that's like horrible or better than we thought, you know, maybe not like Texans good, but better than we thought, is going to be Levis. It's going to be about him. And I think Levis has what it takes to do it. I think that his evaluation got a little complicated there at the end. You know, his last year at Kentucky was, you know, an injury situation. But when he's healthy and confident, he has all the tools and everything else to be, you know, a plus quarterback in the NFL. And that's just not something every guy that's starting right now can say. And I think he can. So a lot of it will depend on, you know, if he can take the next step.
Well, I agree with you, Nick. I feel like a lot of the league does not agree with that. And and I've had this conversation.
Yeah, I know
why.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, there was injury stuff. He also had a terrible offensive line in his second year at Kentucky. But I guess the personality stuff, which I think has been blown apart at this point. I mean, he's actually doing a great job of leaning in on the Mayo thing, right? Like, why do you think is it more about just the film of his last year at Kentucky?
I think it's not the personality stuff, but I think it goes in line with, yes, the last year at Kentucky, and even if you go back to his earlier years, he's wild. Like, he can be wild. And then a lot of that needs to get tamed down. You know, he'll take chances on stuff that he doesn't need to take chances on, and he'll turn the ball. Like, it was the same thing that people – it was similar, not exactly the same, similar to what people dogged Drake May about coming out this year, where younger quarterback, not a lot of experience. With Levis, you know, he'd had some more experience, but some of it was hurt. But he's a very hyper-athletic kid with a big arm, who trusts his arm sometimes more than he should in situations. And, you know, it's like a Stafford thing, right, where you like that, but you'd like him to reel it back some. And over time, if you surround him with talent, if you protect him up front, I think that sort of thing can take care of itself if you coach him right. And I think Levis is like, he's got some of that stuff. It's not the same thing, but it's like, you know, we talk about Josh Allen in the story there. You bet on those traits, right? Like, you bet on all the stuff that he has that other people just cannot mimic. The reason why people don't like him and then they're off on him and they think, well, if Tennessee is going to be really bad this year, then it means Levis, you know, isn't it, which, you know, I guess we'll see how it goes. But if he can cut the risk stuff down, he's fine. You know, we heard this about Drake May, about McCarthy, same thing. It was like, you know, these guys take too many chances. It's not going to work here at this level. Well, I mean, I watched Levis the same way as you guys did last year come out in the first, second game he had, and he threw for 350, whatever it was. Yeah. I mean, like, it works when it's on, and it works when he's, you know, in ready to go and loaded and ready to throw. So it's just a matter of if you can get him mentally consistently to do that, and he's a young guy, and sometimes that takes a minute.
Nick Baumgartner with us on Robbie and Rex Road. Nick, we talk about the Lions a lot, actually, in terms of just the way they're constructed, the offensive line, and what a weapon that is for Jared Goff. You brought up Skoronski earlier with Latham playing left tackle now. How do you view the potential of those two specifically and the left side of this Titans offensive line?
Well, I really like Skowronski. I think people have sort of forgotten about him. He feels like a guy that could have one of those, you know, I was thinking about this with Smith and Jigba the other day in Seattle, like a guy that could remind people like, oh yeah, I forgot about him. I remember who he was. You know, the injury at the beginning of last year, I felt like, you know, stunted some stuff with him. Plus, he's playing a new position, which I think is fine. I think he's going to be fine inside. But he is a super talented player and the type of guy that I think in time, you know, if health cooperates and everything else, can make other people around him better. We'll see how it all goes, but I still really like him, and I'm not ready to even close to give up on him. And then Latham is another one that I think is going to take a second and be a little bit up and down, but at the end of the season, it'll probably be better than it was at the beginning, just being because I think he was a quick enough study at Bama. He played pretty young, and he's a monster. I mean, just physically, like, it's hard to see a world, if health cooperates, where a guy like that, you know, isn't just fine, or at least making a difference, right? So, yes, I like exactly where they're going, because we talk about how they built the Lions. It's not unlike, you know, the Titans' plan isn't that much different. It's, we want to be tough in the Lions. We want to have a run game that you have to respect or at least honor, and then we're going to be, you know, competent enough in all our other areas to kind of dice you apart. I mean, Levis got a long way to go, so does the line, but you can see the pieces there, and, I like the foundation of it at least.
All right, we're going to talk about your book, and there's an event tonight with Mark Snyder here. Yep. But I do, related to that, though, I did want to ask you, is the Harbster going to come back to the NFL and just take the league by storm? Or do you miss the Harbster?
Do I miss him? I don't miss him. I don't miss covering him, I'll tell you that. There are days where I'll see him say something there on one of these little press conferences, and I'll be like, no, I don't miss any of that. My thought on this is I think the Chargers are going to have a good year this year. I think he's going to get the enthusiasm going, get people pointed in the right direction in that case, like he always does. And the test will be, okay, well, what about next year? What now? What now after you've, you know, put confidence back in these guys, which nobody's really better at that in football than Jim Harbaugh. There's two things. He hires coaches better than anybody, and he rehabilitates players better than anybody. After the initial, you know, whatever, though, it becomes kind of like you're almost waiting for the circus to come down and something else to happen, because you're like, sometimes nothing else happens. So my question with that one is, what's going to happen next year?
Yeah, it's going to be.
And beyond.
It's going to be fascinating. So tell us about the book. You and Mark Snyder wrote a great book.
Yes.
And Mark is here in Nashville. I'm going to see him for lunch today, but to sign it for the Michigan fans.
That's right. So the 97 book, Mountaintop, Mark and I worked on that for about a year and a half, about 2 years. We talked with Lloyd Carr. We had exclusive interviews and meetings with him for about 20, 25 hours. I think we ended up interviewing, it was well over 100 people. I think it was just about every living player that played on that team, save for Tom Brady. Everybody, he was the only one. Didn't want to talk to us. Everybody else.
He didn't play anyway.
You know what I mean? Right. He didn't play, including Charles Woodson. We talked to Charles. Brian Greasy was great. So it's really, you know, that team for people, you know, Joe, you remember that team. There's many amazing players on that team, Steve Hutchinson. And, you know, I think our plan was to sort of go through that and tell their stories alongside each other, as a lot of guys, including Lloyd Carr, sort of trying to find themselves at the same time, you know, and it turns out, oh, they're all really like Hall of Fame level people. So, it was a really fun project on a really fun team that I know a lot of people remember fondly, with a bunch of good dudes in it. So, go see Mark tonight and say hi and get you an autograph.
Oh, we're looking forward to it. Nick, appreciate so much you taking time to be with us. Appreciate your perspective as always. And thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely, fellas. Take care.
Nick Baumgartner from The Athletic, our guest on Robbie and Rex. So we'll take your thoughts on what Nick had to say.
I just want to get the info in there. So that's 6:30, Green Hills Library.
There you go.
Michigan Alumni Association, 3701 Benham Avenue. Mark Snyder, look at that guy.
And don't go in there getting after Mark about the 97 Heisman race either.
Oh, yeah.
Or that, maybe do. Now
that could be. That's still a good debate. Very good debate.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on what Nick had to say. A couple interesting points he made on the Titans there that I want to get to coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Sounds take on Jacksonville. Pregame at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35, with coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 949thefan.com. Sounds Baseball presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Welcome back in. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Appreciate Nick Bumgardner for being with us in the last segment. Nick, a little bit more optimistic on the Titans than most people nationally, I would say.
Yeah. How come everybody we have on,
are they just trying to suck up to
this being nice in Nashville?
Maybe.
Charles actually thinks the Titans are cheeks. Oh. I know last year he was absolutely fooled.
He was.
He wasn't the only one.
He was not the only one.
But
no, which I still think about from time to time as I look at this team this year. I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
Are they about to win four games?
I get it. I do. I get it. But I think what Nick says makes sense. You know, it's – but that's the thing. It's like some of those guys, obviously the most important, Levis. He also has Skaronski, and, you know, I think Spears will be good. But is Skaronski going to be really good? I don't know. I mean, at times I'm like, man, he can move people. I mean,
yeah.
He can move people. And at times – sometimes, you know, he looks a little bit not as fleet of foot as you'd like in certain instances.
I do want to clarify something real quick because people are mad on the text line again. We can't get through a trivia question without somebody getting mad this week.
Oh, boy.
Rick Clawson did play in 2004. It was not the quarterback competition. Brent Schaefer broke his collarbone, and then Eric Ainge got hurt, which then forced Rick Clawson to play. But the quarterback competition heading into the year, and then they basically alternated series, was Schaefer and Ainge. And then injury forced Clawson in. And then the next year it was Clawson, Ainge as a competition. So just clarification.
Yeah. The question was accurate.
Yeah.
It was a tough one. A lot of people got it immediately correct. So it wasn't that, you know, I mean.
Wasn't that tough.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's a controversial question. Don't be. Are these the same people who think PK should like apologize for his accurate report?
We did have
because an appeal
maybe so
happened.
We had Liam on the YouTube chat earlier say, "Anyone want to join my screwed by PK fantasy football league? We draft at the same time as the official league."
That's a toughie. Yeah,
that's good stuff.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yesterday, I think over discussed is probably a word that applies for a lot of this right now. We need football. It's time for the football games to happen. But I will say that the left side, among the many things that we're going to be watching early on in the season for the Titans this year, that left guard combo of Latham Skaronski, I think has the potential to be very, very good, particularly long term. But I think even in the short term, right? Like if those two guys are physically healthy and are playing at the level that we've seen for them so far, I think early in the season you got a chance to be okay there at the left side. And then I think the hope is as this season goes on, and certainly 2-3 years down the road, that Skaronski and Latham as a tackle guard combo are one of the best combos in the league at that point. I'm not saying they'll be there this year, but I think the hope is that eventually, especially with the draft capital you used on both of them, that Latham Skaronski are in the top handful of left tackle, left guard combos in the league as the Titans move ahead here.
Yeah, well, that's the kind of stuff that has to happen. And I am more confident. If you break, you separate them, I'm more confident that Latham will be that than I am Skaronski or the tandem. But I think it's certainly possible. And I think for sure this year, in terms of running the football, you're going to see some moments this year where those two road grade their way to some, you know, some big seams for the running backs. I think that's already they're ready for that. You know?
I'm still looking forward to week one where Pollard Spears end up for a combined 33 carries and we usher in that new era of Titans football, baby. Looking forward to it.
But if they win, will the people be mad?
No. Look, that may not be a bad plan.
I'm sorry. Like you should look. If you're a football fan and your team can run the ball and stop the run, I understand that it's more fun. Like you don't want to be confined to that, but like that is a great feeling.
Yeah.
If you're a football fan and your team is winning,
when
up
the other
front,
team knows it's coming and they still can't stop it.
Yeah, and of course you want the play action to work off it. I mean, look, this was the 2020 Titans offense to a T. They weren't just well, it was a fun offense, and it was still the same thing. It was give the ball to Derrick Henry, but it was a fun offense because it worked, and he had room to run, and the play action was lethal off it. I mean, what's better? What's better than football? I'm fine watching like an air raid team, you know, that goes out there and throws it around 56. Like, but I remember the first time I watched a Mike Leach team. It was in the Alamo Bowl. Now, he was suspended. Unfortunately, I didn't get to have a week of covering him, which is a huge loss.
Yes.
But remember, you know, really watching that up close, it's like, okay, but like 30 of these passes are, it's a half second off the line, and it's just a running play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So it's an extension of the running game.
Exactly. That's a cliche, but yes, exactly. So if you can straight up run the football, that's a beautiful thing. It's always a beautiful thing in football. Embrace it, Titans fans.
We may have to get some over-unders at some point. I would be interested to know, Titans fans, who you think finishes with more rushing yards this year, Tyjae Spears or Tony Pollard? Who ends up with more total yards between the two? I think it's an interesting question. I don't know the answer.
It's a very interesting and very tough. I would not feel good about betting on either one.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be really close.
More running back talk, baby. Preds can find a goalie. No doubt about that. Titans can find a running back, baby. Titans have found running backs throughout their entire history as a franchise. Earl Campbell, Eddie George, Chris Johnson, Derrick Henry.
Bishop Sankey.
Chris Brown.
Don't forget, Lendale White had a nice little. Yeah. You know, they had the
smash and dash
and pinch and dash or whatever.
Pinch and dash here with the Titans.
No, Lendale White was he was a nice player. Yeah. No, they've for the most part they haven't had many eras. They haven't had many stretches where they haven't had a great back.
God, I forgot about Bishop Sankey.
Had to throw that one in. Yeah, every once in a while you got a.
Wasn't it Bishop Sankey? Dexter McCluster combo at one point. That was fun.
That sounds right. Yeah.
Worked out well.
McCluster, man. Boy, was he fun to watch in college.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. One of the most famous plays in Titans history was actually the wrong play call. And it's not the one you're thinking of. We'll get to that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to Chase and Big Joe from 9 to 11 a.m. for your chance to win tickets to see Sammy Hagar at Bridgestone Arena on August 28th. Contest presented by Green Trees. Looking forward to that coming up later today.
It's Strokes Day. What are we doing? I give you so many bangers. We don't have that many opportunities,
you know,
man.
I have noticed a trend that when I have a music day, Keezer follows pretty close to the T.
Yeah.
When you have one, he does not care.
Hey, relax. We have so much more time.
Hey, relax. We really don't.
We don't because Charles is goes talk two segments. Minutes. Got the rant. Man, killing me. I mean, if we have a disco day, this would be.
I could have shared some of the, I could have saved some of the strokes for your rant. You never know.
Okay. All right. Well, if that's the case, then
By golly, Joe.
Okay.
What if he didn't, though? What if he just said that? It's like, I could have, but
we're about to find out. Or there's going to be some frantic editing in there during this next break. Hey, before we get to your, which I do want to quickly address Dennis, because I feel bad. Dennis has been so far screwed out of our fantasy league. I was hoping he'd get back in there. But he should have a spot since, like, this should be at least, like, part of the payment we give him for the illustrations. But he'd like to hear about two players he has not heard much about. Cushenberry and Joseph Day.
Okay.
So Cushenberry, I think, has been talked about some in particular, like because Tavondre Sweat has gotten the better of him, but not all the time, by the way. He's won some. He's lost some. I think he's what they wanted. Like Bill Callahan wants a bigger, burlier offensive line than they had last year. They are more of a gap running team. You know, again, Bill Callahan has done the entire – Bill Callahan was at the forefront of, the zone running game when it was early and in its infancy, really. But bigger, and Cushenberry is definitely way bigger than the last center. So I can tell you that. He is bigger than him. There is no doubt.
Can confirm.
I think he looks fine. And I think, you know, he's a veteran who I think he'll be a good signing for them, you know. He's a – I think it's, yeah, Tavondre Sweat gets them sometimes. And what you hope is, of course, when the real football starts, that turns into, oh, it's because of Sweat, it's not because of Cushenberry. Right. I think we're not going to have a, oh, Cushenberry is the Andre Dillard of centers this year. I don't think that's going to be the case. And I think Sweat has a chance to be more impactful than, like, Arden Key typically is. You know, different position, but you get what I'm saying, because yep. It was Key against Dillard. Joseph Day, he's a guy. And again, maybe when the real football comes, he'll be more impactful than he has been. But to me, he's fine. They need people up there. I don't think he's going to set the world on fire this year.
Well, and that whole position group beyond, you know, that defensive line beyond Sweat and Simmons. You know, and I'm not counting edge rusher there, but Simmons, Sweat, when they're not on the field, who is number one? You know, Joseph Day is going to be a part of that. Are any of those guys difference makers? Like, are any of those guys able to make plays for you, or are you just trying to hang on and survive while those guys are out there?
Yeah, you're trying to be solid. The one guy I would look at who at times is pretty overpowering is Keandre Coburn, the other huge Texas defensive lineman, and of course kind of a mentor to Tavondre Sweat. He at times, you know, I mean, he's more of the traditional, like, nose tackle plugger kind of guy, whereas Sweat has the feet where he can do more than that.
Yeah,
but he might be a guy who gives you some disruption. And, you know, like, think about, like, Tyr Tart at his best. You know, Tyr Tart made a difference when he was playing well before it all went sideways last year. Tyr Tart, by the way, man, has that guy screwed things up for himself.
But he's with the Chargers now. We'll see how it goes.
Okay. Yep. Well, Nick Baumgartner just told us the Harbster is a player rehabilitator. Tart's too good to not be in this league playing significant snaps and making good money. He should be doing that.
The Baltimore Ravens are in Green Bay, Wisconsin this week for joint practices with the Packers before their final preseason game. Derrick Henry up there. And, of course, beloved Matt LaFleur on this program, former Titans offensive coordinator, had Derrick Henry for a year here in Nashville. Didn't start off great for Derrick Henry, but at the end of LaFleur's season as offensive coordinator is when Derrick Henry took off a very famous play, 99-yard run between the Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars, where he broke about 1,000 tackles and ended up in the end zone. And we learned yesterday, and maybe this was out there before and I just hadn't seen it, but Matt LaFleur put it out there yesterday, that play, which will live on in Titans lore forever, was not the called play. Here's what Matt LaFleur had to say on Derrick Henry yesterday.
Yeah, he had a lot of big runs, and I'll never forget the one we had backed up, the 99-yarder versus Jacksonville. Although, full disclosure here, I had actually called a quarterback sneak can to the run, or vice versa. It was the duo can to quarterback sneak, and there was an open A gap, and I'll never forget. I'm like, we're going to run the quarterback sneak, and he handed the ball off, and initial thought was, what are we doing? Until he broke about 7 tackles on the way to a 99-yard run. So, little nugget for you guys.
That was LaFleur yesterday. So apparently,
No. Yes.
So apparently, a quarterback sneak was called, and I guess Marcus just called the wrong play, or he. I mean, I don't remember him audibling at the line of scrimmage on that play and canning into it. So I guess he just called it backwards.
So maybe he needed to check into, because the A gap was clear, he needed
maybe
to check into
the QB sneak.
And LaFleur was like, why did you not check into that?
Well, he called the QB sneak and he canned it. Like, the can option was.
But I thought
the
he
other
did, but then he said, or maybe it was the other way around.
Well, maybe, I don't know. Either way, LaFleur expected the quarterback sneak, and it did not happen.
Yes.
And I just would like to say that sometimes ignoring Matt LaFleur is the best way to go.
I mean, Matt LaFleur,
worked out pretty
what's
well.
His record for your Green Bay Packers?
I mean, his winning percentage is like 700 or something like that.
I mean, I remember when Matt – I mean, you just do nothing but hate on Matt LaFleur. And some days he'll bring you a championship, and then what are you going to do?
Congratulate Jordan Love. I told you that if he was able to coach up Andre Dillard to be a serviceable player, then I would never criticize him again. Well, guess what, buddy? So far in camp, he has not been able to do that. So.
Okay. So now you're basing your evaluation of him on, no, you can't make Andre Dillard good?
Vrabel couldn't coach him up. He got fired. What does that tell you?
Well, the funny thing about Vrabel is, think about that. When LaFleur was hired, first of all, and this is well before we had this show, it was like, really? Matt LaFleur is the head coach of the Green Bay Packers.
I had the same reaction.
And
yes.
Let me tell you, inside the Titans coaching staff, it was a lot of the same. Like, what? And look at it now. LaFleur is just soaring, and Vrabel's out there racing Jameis Winston. You just never know how it's going
to
work out.
I'd have to look at it, but LaFleur's got to be creeping toward the top of the list of, like, longest tenured coaches.
Yeah.
I mean, Belichick's gone now. You know, there's some other guys that have been around for a while, but he's got to be, like, at the top six or seven, I would guess.
Yo, seriously, LaFleur is – he's a great example of, gosh, give a shot to the – to the offensive guy and the whatever you want to call it, the new age kind of coaches. LaFleur is definitely Mr. Chill, low key, nice guy, right?
And I mean, it's kind of similar to Callahan in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Just in terms of personality.
No doubt.
Like even background a little bit. Like it's pretty similar.
It is. And the thing is, I mean, before the Jordan Love stuff, it was like, okay, good. Good for you for being on scholarship.
Right.
You know, you're on scholarship. And I know that's what you thought. And frankly, I didn't necessarily disagree with you. Although, it's like, I don't know, man. If a team is functioning as well as they were pretty consistently functioning, that has to speak to him positively in some way, right? But now with the Jordan
Love
stuff,
did a pretty good job.
Now it's like, oh, Matt LaFleur, pretty good.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. It's at this point, the hit rate on these guys, pretty high.
Wes and Clarksville asking if there's still a big shortage of players that Dillard's still going to be able to start. I don't think Dillard is going to be starting for the Packers in week 1.
Is he the swing tackle?
I think he's in competition to be the swing tackle.
A mighty team that will not yield. Lions.
Oh, God.
NFC North champs, back-to-back.
I need the offensive linemen to do some stretching. Make sure they're healthy.
Yeah.
Don't we have any soft tissues? Don't we have any knees? Just keep Andre off the field.
By the way, Dennis Daly.
I don't know that he's ended up anywhere yet.
Still out there.
I think he's still out there. I have not. If he has been signed, I did not see it.
That Daly-Dillard combo, an all-timer in Titans lore.
But, I mean, I'm loving to think about it. I'm sure I would love to know how often this happens where a coach calls a play and the quarterback unintentionally ends up going with something else. And, like, how many times that's worked out to look really good.
Yeah. Well, that's got to be the – I mean,
it's going to be hard to top a 99-yard run.
Because if it went the other way, like, your best hope is that Mariota falls to, like, the 3, you know?
Yeah. He's like, I saw the A-gap. It's wide open. Yeah. He could have got 3 yards there.
Right. We could have actually been able to then be able to punt out of the end zone without shortening the snap. What an incredible play.
615-737-1025, and now we know it's not what was – was called, which makes it even better. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. We'll have Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports at 8 o'clock. All that coming up. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Bavarian Beer House, Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, a place full of fun, food, music, and most importantly, beer. Enjoy traditional German bratwurst, schnitzel, giant pretzels, and more in an Oktoberfest-inspired space. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I am so sorry. I can't believe General Booty is still in the league in college football.
General Booty?
General Booty is the greatest name ever. I am so sorry.
Left him off the list.
All right. I like General Booty.
That's good.
I like my coffee brown, but not necessarily the water that makes the coffee. I think that's too much brown. Send help. If someone wants to bring us coffee here, I'll tip you kindly. Should be fun, hopefully, for the whole family.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad.
Okay, hold on, because he got me a stroke song here.
Well, that's what I was pausing for. I want you to sit here and soak it in.
I just want to absorb it whenever he actually pays some strokes. You know, this is a jam, though. This is a jam, though. Just saying.
Glad he followed directions there. It's good.
Thank you, Nick.
Probably not.
So,
today. You,
what's that?
Thank you, Mike.
Yes. what a great song. You know, I went to Red Hot Chili Peppers a couple years ago with Jack, my oldest, but the Strokes opened, and I was kind of almost more excited about them.
Yeah.
But it's weird when you go to a concert like that, most people are there for the Chili Peppers, and like a lot of people had no idea about the Strokes, and I was kind of embarrassing how much I was jamming out to the Strokes.
Standing up,
pretty sure
dancing.
Embarrassed my child. Anyway, today I want to talk about the Steve McNair documentary because it pretty much sucked.
That's what I hear.
Very disappointing. I'm very disappointed in it, and I don't know if this is a reflection of the Untold series on Netflix, because I don't know. Do you know, is this new, or they're trying to do the 30 for 30 thing on Netflix?
Yeah, like it's, I think they're kind of diving more into this stuff now, but it's, they've done some things before. Yeah.
Anything good?
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look at it. But yes, they have done some things that I have seen that are good.
I probably have too.
Don't for the life of me remember it at
the
moment.
Yeah. I asked because there's like three new ones now, and one of them is this Connor Stallions thing, which looked like it's going to be him making excuses. I saw like a clip from that. It's like, if I'm the bad guy, everyone in football is
college football.
It's like, oh boy, not this. Not this. Here's the problem with, there's a lot of problems with the McNair doc, okay? And
they did the Swamp Kings one, which was also famous for like not really addressing most of the stuff that went on with Florida.
Well, that's my issue with this is that look, they had some good moments in it. And there was some good, good footage and some good interviews, but it was very surface. And the thing is with this whole thing, it's like, first of all, it's hilarious that it's called Untold. Because they did not tell anything.
There's zero new information.
There really isn't. I know, actually, Doherty did for the Tennessean did like five things. There were a couple little nuggets in there that I guess are new, but nothing like big. And the thing is, there's been way more depth provided to this story just in the last few years. I went back because I'm like, I've talked to Vincent Hill and some of these other people that were involved in this for different things at the Tennessean and the Athletic. So Tim Rohan, Sports Illustrated did an 8-part podcast series in 2018 at the Tennessean. We did a big thing. I was still there in 2019, which was a 10-year, and some people were upset about that because it's like, why are we talking about this? But look, there is some mystery around the murder, but also Deadly Recall, which was an investigation discovery show from 2020, did a pretty significant episode which had more depth than this. That was Pat Pastiglione, and I talked to him during that and wrote something for The Athletic. I'm looking back and reading all this stuff. I'm like, all these other things previously actually had a lot more to them. And when it comes down to it, the Rohan, when he went through everything, and there are questions. I mean, it's legit. I don't think Vincent Hill was just out trying to sell books. I think there's legit questions. But if you go through everything and Pastiglione and his thing, and the actual police work that got them to where they got, it wasn't like, I think that's where Vincent Hill's wrong, is that like he thinks that they did just a completely shoddy job. There's a lot more work into it, a lot more information they had than was public at the time. So bottom line is, last night when I watched it, it was just very surface, And it's also like they basically interviewed Fisher, and he was good. And they interviewed Brad Hopkins, and he was good. But I think you're going to do something like this, you got to have more voices. Like, look, it does bother me that there's not even like a flash on the screen of Floyd Reese.
Yep.
And half of the doc is about just the half of the doc is the Titans, the early days, and the Super Bowl, and of course McNair, but it was also Titans. And I just thought it was a very rushed and shoddy. It wasn't shoddy. Like, it wasn't bad quality, but it was just very surface, and it's not Untold. It's very surface. So if you're gonna do something like that, you should be aware of the other work that's been done on it, and try to go beyond it. And they did not at all. They just basically reviewed stuff. It's basically like, here's all this stuff. This is 15 years now, and there's all this stuff that's been done. Here's the Cliff's Notes, and we'll call it Untold. Very disappointing.
I started watching it last night. I'll finish it before I get on the plane today, probably. But it just, from everybody especially, you know, I got a lot of friends that are huge Titans fans that have, you know, been Titans fans dating back to those days with McNair and Eddie George and the Super Bowl run and all that stuff. And really, pretty much to a T, they've all, like, we went in a group text about it, and they're like, yeah, this thing sucks. This is not very good. So it's disappointing. Like, when they first said that they were coming out with this, I was excited. I was like, okay, so what new information do they have? How are they going to tell the story? All those things. You know, Keith on the text line says, McNair, I felt like I had seen it before, though I thought Jeff Fisher was very good. I'm sure Fisher's great, but, like, it just – if there's no new information in there, or none that's really all that relevant, then it's kind of disappointing. I thought we were going to get maybe a deeper dive into it.
Yeah, like the one thing they had that I wasn't really aware of, they did get her boyfriend prior to McNair.
Yeah.
And he was interesting. But the thing is, it's like that's where relevance comes in. He was an interesting interview, and he was early on a suspect, but he wasn't. It was nothing to that. You know what I mean? So, and they had Fisher and McNair and what he said to him. Like I said, Fisher was good. Fisher is typically good in interview settings, right? But, yeah, it just, it really, they didn't need to do it. If you're going to do it, then do it. Or otherwise, I think it was just a big waste of time. Other people saying Mouse at the Palace.
Yeah.
Manti Te'o, so they've done some other stuff. But, yes, that I have not watched the Swamp Kings one, and I've heard the exact same thing, which is, my goodness, did you gloss over some stuff?
Yeah, I mean, there's Aaron Hernandez. There's Tim Tebow. There's Percy Harp, Urban Meyer. I mean, there's a lot of things going on there that just kind of glossed over. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Disappointing there. We'll see if the Stallions one's any good or not. But after seeing that clip, that I saw the clip you were talking about of the – well, if I'm the bad guy, all of college football is. I don't have high hopes heading into that one either.
Good Lord. By the way, Tim Rohan, quick story for you. In the huge Michigan State alumni state news win over Michigan alumni, I broke my finger on his rib pulling his flag. You've probably heard this story, right? Yeah. It was his rib.
I know it was specifically him.
It was his rib. And then I separated my shoulder later, and it was Mark Snyder, who's here today to sign the book, who drove me to the – U of M Hospital.
It all comes together.
Isn't that nice?
And Charles Robinson, I'm sure, witnessed some of this. We'll get to him coming up next. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, talking Titans and all things NFL. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.